Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Pi Films. Maven Pictures. Words Appear. Netflix presents. A Pi Films production. Maven Pictures and Paper Chase Films. In association with Farcaster Films, Haya Pressure, Manhattan Productions, Imagination Park Entertainment. A middle-aged woman with wavy brown shoulder-length hair enters a vacant primary school classroom. She drops her bag on the floor and sets a thermos on a table, then opens two window blinds. Sunlight streams into the room. She bends to turn on an electric fan. Kindergarten teacher Lisa Spinelli opens two more blinds. She passes the pastel blue walls and crosses to a low table. Lisa pulls out a small chair and sits. She runs a hand through her hair. She closes her eyes, the fan behind her gently blowing her hair as it spins back and forth. Title: The Kindergarten Teacher. Another day, Lisa waits inside a bustling ferry terminal with her purse over her shoulder and a bag hooked around her arm. Soon after, she rides the ferry. Lisa sits in a green plastic chair and writes in a notebook. She looks up thoughtfully. Later, she sits in a classroom with the notebook open on her desk. Lisa fingers a pen and faces the front of the room, sitting amongst fellow adult students.
So who wants to read? Come on, it's like the, what is it, the fourth week now? Let's hear someone else.
Teacher Simon Alvarez stands at the front. He nods at Lisa.
Do you?
Lisa.
Lisa, do you mind sharing?
No.
She picks up her notebook. Later that night, a dark sedan cruises through a residential neighborhood and pulls into the driveway of a white two-story house. Inside, Lisa eats alone at a dining room table. A paunchy middle-aged man joins her.
So what'd you write this week?
He pulls out a chair and sits.
A short one, a haiku.
Oh, really? I didn't see you work on it.
I did it on the ferry.
She picks at her food.
Read it to me?
Lisa forks a bite and eats with her head down, then turns and pulls her notebook from a bag. She hands her husband Grant the book, and he reads.
A dream garden blooms. Rose, iris, phlox, but here, a white crocus pierces concrete. It's good, Lisa.
Lisa shakes her head.
I didn't like it. Someone said it was derivative.
But they always say that, right? They say if it's good, they say it if it's bad.
She shakes her head again.
My teacher said I need to put more of myself in my work.
Lisa looks to the side, and Grant studies the book.
What's it like? The flowers out by the pool?
She meets his gaze.
More or less.
Lisa takes the book, closes it, and stuffs it in her bag.
I'm gonna go cut some paper.
She stands. The next day, she tapes a paper of the four seasons on her classroom wall. Lisa carries a potted plant to the adjacent bathroom and waters it, then scrubs the toilet. She fills plastic drinking cups with red liquid. A young boy smiles, and a girl with long pigtails shrugs. Another student removes his backpack, and a girl bites her lip. More children arrive in the kindergarten classroom. One girl grins to reveal a missing bottom tooth, and a little boy licks his lips.
Okay, let's move on to S. S. Do you guys see the S at the top of your paper? And do you see how there's a piece of an S? Can you see if you can finish that S? That's really good, Derek. So when you think of an S, think about the curve of a slithering... what?
Snake.
Snake, that's right. Actually, everybody, think of a snake. Think of the way a snake moves when it sort of slithers on the ground, right? S. Right? Good job. Okay. Guys, doing over here?
My hand hurts.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a long time, haven't we? Okay, we're gonna do song circle after one more letter. Have you guys got one more letter in you?
Yes.
Yeah, one more letter. Does anybody have any idea what the next letter is?
T.
T is the letter that comes after S in the alphabet. Very good. And T is a tall, tough letter, like a hard tooth, or like a
tusk.
Like a tusk. Yes, very good.
One boy rests his head on the table, scribbling on his paper. Lisa approaches, and her assistant, Megan, watches.
Hey. Can I see a beautiful tee?
She rubs his back.
Thank you.
He draws his tees.
You know what? Finish up the letter you're working on, and let's do song circle. Okay, give your papers to Megan. To hell with the core curriculum.
Thank you.
Oh, how the rattling bug about down in the valley, oh. Oh, how the rattling bug about down in the valley, oh.
And on that
necklace,
there was a
beach.
Beach. I love it. And a beach on a necklace, and a necklace on the and the popsicle on the
butter.
And the butter on the
mine.
After school.
Bye. Bye, Caitlin. You have your collage?
A student leaves with her mother.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lauren.
Lisa smiles down the hall. She turns and spots one of her students pacing in the kindergarten classroom.
Anna's beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits her yellow house. It's almost like a sign from God.
Lisa watches.
What's that?
His nanny shrugs.
I know. Was that a poem? Right, that was a poem. That's remarkable. I think we should write it down, right? Okay.
Lisa writes it down. The nanny stands nearby, holding the boy's hand.
Wow, you remember it.
She finishes writing and caps her pen. Lisa rips off the piece of paper and gazes at it. Then looks at the nanny.
What's your name again?
I'm Becca.
Becca, right. I'm sorry. I've seen you here before. So Jackie's gone?
Yeah, she quit.
That must be why I was confused.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Becca, would you do me a favor? If he does this again, will you promise you'll write it down for me?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
Thanks. Hey, Jimmy. I really liked your poem.
Okay. All right. Bye.
They leave, and Lisa crouches down, reading the poem. She hops up and heads to the door. She looks down the hall. Later, Lisa drives her car. Two teenage girls sit in the back seat.
Like, look at that.
Yeah, that's photoshopped. That's definitely photoshopped.
How was your day?
It was good.
Dad said you had a test?
Yeah, it was fine. So what did he say?
She focuses on the road ahead. That evening, she prepares dinner with Grant.
Who's that?
You guys gonna come eat?
We ordered pizza.
Their teenage son, Josh, reaches into the cupboard.
You too?
Yeah.
You don't say hi?
Hello?
Hello. Could I have some of those, please?
Yeah.
Did you go online and look at the dorms?
Hey.
Yes.
And did you pick your preferences?
Yes, yes I did.
The teens eat pizza at an outdoor table. Lisa sips from a wine glass as she settles at the kitchen table beside her husband. They eat with their heads down. That night, she reads to Grant in bed.
Anna is beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits her yellow house. It's almost like a sign from God.
He nods.
Wow. Sounds so advanced. How old is he?
5 and a half. It's extraordinary. Yeah. I think Lainey and Josh knew lots of words at that age, but...
She studies the paper in wonderment.
It conjures a feeling. So specific.
Is he religious?
No, I don't think so.
It's just weird that someone so young would write about God. It's disturbing slightly.
She looks up and nods.
Why do you say that?
Grant faces her, and Lisa looks down at the paper, then back up at him.
Why do you use the word disturbing?
I don't know. It's... not disturbing, I suppose. It's more like peculiar. The whole God thing, I don't know.
Another day in poetry class, Lisa reads to her classmates.
Anna is beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits her yellow house. It is almost like a sign from God.
She grins at the teacher, and he returns the smile.
What do you guys think?
I love that line, beautiful enough for me. It suggests so many things, like you don't deserve much or you don't prioritize beauty.
But then the word beautiful is repeated. So I feel like you do, in fact, value it in some deep way, and that you really find Anna beautiful.
Yeah, I think it was really good. Really good, because with so few elements, you make something very, very complex. It's as if it was said by someone that has seen a lot of beauty, but now, you know, makes do with very little. Okay, so for next week, I would like you all to focus on the boring things, the banal, the mundane, just, you know, try it and see if the act of writing about something can transform it into something new. Let's see.
The next day at school, the children play outside. Lisa watches as Jimmy runs from his classmates.
Jimmy, no, that is an awful word. All of you guys.
She scowls.
That's a very powerful word, and you guys are just little kids, and there is no place for that here. Okay? I know you guys are better than that. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I have to give you a timeout.
She leads the boy away by the hand. Soon after, they sit across from each other at a table in the classroom. Lisa clasps her hands and leans forward.
So, Jimmy, tell me about your poem.
Jimmy munches on a cracker.
Who's Anna? She's someone you know?
He gets up and wanders to a table by the window.
And how about your mommy? Is her name Anna?
My mom is dead.
Sorry to hear that. I didn't know.
Jimmy touches a plant on the table. Lisa walks over and crouches down with a tender smile. She touches the plant.
You remember when we planted these? They're just tiny little seeds. What's this one smell like? Smell.
Tomato.
Yeah, tomato. When you have some time.
He sniffs his fingers. She smells her hands.
A rain to the wind said, you push.
I'll pout.
Remember that one?
He nods.
They so smote the garden bed that the flowers actually knelt and lay lodged, but not dead. I know how those flowers felt.
She gazes at the boy intently, and he meets her eyes, then saunters past her. Jimmy plays with toy animals, and Lisa turns and sits near him. She leans close to his face.
I'm sorry I had to give you a timeout. I don't like doing that. I know you can be steady and use beautiful words. Ho is a boring word. It's a word boring kids say. Hey.
Lisa grabs Jimmy's hand.
Let's look at the kindergarten. These toys, we play with them every day. Or the sunflower. I see the sunflower every single day. And our butterfly, right? They're part of our everyday routine. Maybe if we try.
She turns to the window.
We can see something new.
Lisa holds his hand and they stare out the window.
Do you feel anything?
No.
Later, Lisa stoops over to wash dishes in the classroom sink. Jimmy sits at a table coloring. Becca rushes in.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Megan, can you take Jimmy to get his clay sculpture? I think it's still drying outside.
Sure, I'll get it.
Do you mind if we chat for a minute?
Yeah.
I just felt like Jimmy was acting a little strange today. He was energetic at recess, and then he was very quiet. He hardly said a word for the rest of the day.
Yeah, he does get quiet like that. That's true. I mean, he's a weirdo.
Becca, how often does he compose poems?
I don't know, like once a week, maybe like every few days.
Really?
He'll just like pop up, start walking back and forth like a zombie, like mumbling to himself.
Yeah, I hadn't seen him do it ever before Monday.
I gotta say, they're really cool. I like them.
And what does his family think?
Oh, nobody knows he does it but me. His dad's like a really busy guy. He owns that big nightclub in Bayonne, Ultra Lounge. His mom is doing her thing in Miami. She's not around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jimmy said she was dead.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Usually I'm informed of that kind of thing.
It was a really nasty custody battle.
And are you close with his dad?
Yeah, we work together. So I know him. I did coat check at Ultra Lounge for a year. And then I quit to pursue acting. But then he said he needed a nanny, so I was like, this is perfect, part-time.
Good.
But you know what? His Uncle Sanjay does come by the house, and Jimmy tells me they read poems, works at a newspaper.
That's good to know. I'm glad there's some support in the house. And do you like acting?
Yeah, I do.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. Oh, I almost forgot. There was one yesterday. You want to see it? I wrote it down like you said.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to take a look at it.
Becca pulls a notebook from her purse and rips out a page. She hands the paper to Lisa. Lisa reads and sinks into a chair. The poem is titled, The Bull.
The bull stood alone in the backyard, so dark.
Lisa is in class.
I opened the door and stepped out, wind in the branches. He watched me, blue eyes. He kept breathing to stay alive. I didn't want him. I was just a boy. Say yes. Say yes anyway.
She looks up at Alvarez.
Wow. I like a lot the breathing to stay alive. What do you guys think?
I'm just trying to understand the assignment. I thought everything was supposed to be observational and about things that we see every day. I mean, it's great, but this seems like an exercise in surrealism.
You don't have to be literal with my assignments, you know? These are just the exercises that spark your creativity.
Well, it might have been helpful to know that beforehand.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I apologize. But I find it really interesting that you just went your own way, really. You know, sometimes poets, like bulls, they should be stubborn.
I like the poem a lot. Just wondering why you wrote it from a boy's point of view.
Lisa blinks and shakes her head.
I don't know.
Because she can. That's what's interesting. It's, you know, it's interesting to see things from a new vantage point. Well, guys, we have to leave, but this week, try using another point of view, okay? Let's see what happens, all right? And please, please, just really don't try to please me. That's not the point. Okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Later, Lisa returns home.
Hey, how was class?
It was good. Yeah, it was better.
She heads upstairs.
Are the kids upstairs?
I think so.
She opens Lainey's door.
Hey. Oh, hi.
Lainey looks up from her phone, and Lisa sits on the bed.
You just get back from your poetry class?
Yeah. Oh, your hair looks nice like that.
She studies her phone.
Where's Josh?
Tutoring.
Good.
Lisa looks to the side.
Are there any college kids there?
Where?
In your class.
No. It's all adults. It's a continuing education class.
Oh.
Lainey returns her gaze to her phone.
Hey, don't you have work to do?
Yeah, I finished it in study hall.
I was thinking about how great you were at photography last year. Why don't you take Dad's old camera and his lenses and take a walk around the neighborhood?
I post cool stuff on Instagram all the time.
Yeah, but developing in a dark room is totally different.
Yeah, it just stinks in there with all the chemicals and stuff.
Okay.
Lisa touches Lainey's foot.
Just something I noticed you were good at.
Later.
Hi, Mr. Roy. This is Lisa Spinelli calling. I'm Jimmy's kindergarten teacher. And I was just calling because I would like to talk to you about your son, when you have a moment. I left a message on Tuesday with all my information, so please give me a call when you get a chance. Thanks a lot. Bye.
She hangs up and sits at her dining room table in the dark with her hand over her mouth. The next day in class.
I'm really curious what's going to happen when you have no white on the paper.
I don't have any white on the paper.
Yeah, let's see here. Oh, you need a little more room on the paper, I think. Here you go.
The children paint.
You're very welcome.
Do you need something, Aubrey? What do you need?
Now, do you think you guys can make a chrome yellow, like in Van Gogh's wheat fields? Remember how beautiful that color was?
One girl paints her own hand blue, and another paints a rainbow on paper.
Is this the volcano here and the lava coming out?
The girl nods. Another child presses her painted hand onto paper. Jimmy works at an easel. After, the classroom lights are dimmed and the paintings hang on wires to dry. The blinds are drawn and the children lay on mats on the floor. Lisa tiptoes around them as they rest on the mats, some on their backs, others on their tummies or sides. A girl adjusts her pink blanket as Lisa passes her mat. The teacher crouches down beside Jimmy. The boy is on his stomach with a blanket around him.
Hey, Jimmy.
He has his back to her.
Jimmy.
Lisa rubs his back.
Hey, Jimmy. Will you come with me?
He presses up onto his hands. She takes his hand and he gets to his feet. Lisa leads him past his sleeping classmates and into the bathroom. She closes the door.
Why are we in the bathroom?
Because I want to talk to you about something. Hey. I want to talk to you about something that I think is very important. It's called your point of view. So here we are, we're in a bathroom.
He sits in the window well.
But there's not just one bathroom.
There's many bathrooms.
Yes, there's many bathrooms because, look, if you're a grown-up...
She stands.
The bathroom looks like this. Yeah, you're a big grown-up Jimmy. What do you think? Look around.
Jimmy stands on the window ledge.
But there's all sorts of things you didn't notice before.
He looks around.
What else do you want to be? You want to be a giant? Okay, turn around. What do you see from up there?
She lifts him up.
What's it like up there?
And the bathroom's so tiny.
You like it?
Yep.
Well, what else? A cat. Must be a cat.
They crouch on the floor.
So if you stay open, and if you stay curious, then you can see the world however you want. You can see the world like a little tiny bug, or like a bad guy. You know what I mean?
Can I go back to nap time now?
Will you think about what I said? Will you think about it?
All right.
He pushes past her and exits the bathroom. Lisa follows him back into class. Jimmy lays on his mat.
Jimmy. Jimmy, one more thing.
She ruffles his hair, but his eyes are closed. Lisa walks away, and the boy opens his eyes. After school, Megan washes dishes and Lisa mists water onto the plant with a spray bottle. Jimmy sits at a table and purses his lips. He stands and begins pacing back and forth. Both of the women have their backs to him, engrossed with their tasks. Lisa hurries over.
It gets so bright, like the flowers about the sun.
She records.
Do you remember the lion? So quick and so strong. There's no master when his master is sleeping, and all his master does is sleep.
Lisa writes. Jimmy sits cross-legged on the carpet. Lisa smiles.
That was a poem.
He has his back to her.
Can you say it for me again so I can write it down?
Jimmy shakes his head and Lisa knits her brow. She looks up at Megan.
Megan, did you catch what he was saying? Did you get the beginning?
Sorry, I had the water running. I think he was singing a song. He seems to be doing that a lot.
They're not songs, they're poems.
Megan turns to the sink.
It was about the lion.
You see?
Lisa grins and bends over Jimmy.
What am I gonna do with you?
She kisses his forehead.
Hey.
Becca, we have a little bit of a problem.
What's wrong?
Poems are disappearing. It happened just now. He was pacing back and forth. I rushed to get to him, and by the time I got there, he was almost finished. All I got was, he has no master when his master is sleeping, and all his master does is sleep.
Oh.
She stands in the hall with Becca.
It's from the point of view of a hunted lion.
Becca nods.
I see. I mean, how often are we missing these moments?
It's hard to say, really. I mean, I try my best. But
out of curiosity, who tucks him into bed at night? Is it you or is it somebody else?
It's mostly me.
I think that's a time to pay attention to. I mean, imagine how much incredible poetry is written in that not quite conscious moment just before the lights go off.
Mm-hmm. Hey, oh, you're such a good teacher. You know that? You have a really big heart. Listen, baby doll. When you're coming up with your poems, just let us know, okay? So we can help you.
Yeah, because we don't want to miss anything, okay?
Do you have kids?
I do.
Big, small?
They're big. They're in high school.
Oh, wow. Well, they're really lucky to have you. You're very attentive.
All right, let's go, baby.
Becca leaves with Jimmy.
Okay, so let's just work together to make sure that all of his work gets heard.
I'll do what I can do. Bye.
They stride down the hall, and Lisa looks down at her paper. Later, Lisa strides along a busy downtown sidewalk wearing dark sunglasses. She turns and enters an office building. Soon after, Lisa scans an office, then approaches a middle-aged man working at a cubicle. A nameplate reads, Sanjay Roy.
Hi. Hi, I'm Lisa. We spoke on the phone.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Is now still an okay time?
Yes, of course. We memorized a few poems just for fun.
Mm. Well, he composes, too.
Gee, I didn't realize.
Yes, and I wanted to speak to you because I imagine maybe you can appreciate how rare that gift is. I mean, I've been a kindergarten teacher for almost 20 years and I've never seen anything like it. And I just want to support it and I want to protect it as much as I possibly can.
Absolutely.
Talent is so fragile and so rare, and our culture does everything to crush it. I mean, even at 4 or 5, they're coming into school attached to their phones, talking only about TV shows and video games. It's a materialistic culture, mm-hmm. and it doesn't support art or language or observation. Even my own children, who are great, they don't read. You know, you think maybe it's just a phase.
Lisa gazes to the side.
But I worry that it's something larger.
Then hangs her head.
A lack of curiosity, a lack of reflection. No one has space for poetry.
Maybe that's true.
Really, what I want is to speak with his father.
His father?
I wonder if he would allow me to oversee his progress.
Sanjay looks down.
Well, he's a busy man, and frankly, I don't know how much you'll get out of him.
Mm.
Have you met him?
No. He doesn't actually even return my phone calls.
Maybe the babysitter can help?
Becca?
Yes, Becca.
Well, between you and me, I think Becca is a problematic element in this, too. I mean, she doesn't understand the depth of his talent.
Sanjay nods and glances back at his desk.
Listen, I apologize, but I should get back to work soon, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll I'll speak to my brother soon. I'll see if I can catch him this week.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Lisa hugs him.
I should, I really have a deadline, so.
Okay.
You know your way out.
I do.
He turns and returns to his cubicle. Lisa stands in place. At school, Lisa rifles through a backpack and pulls out a cell phone. She zips the bag, and Megan eyes her curiously. Jimmy sleeps on his mat, and she leans over him.
Hey, Jimmy, will you come with me to the playground? I want to talk to you about something. Come on, let's play.
Megan works at the sink as Lisa passes with the boy. She leaves the classroom with Jimmy. Megan peers through the window after they leave.
Jimmy, I want to talk to you about something very important. When you have a poem in your head, and when your poem is ready, will you come to me? Even if you see I'm busy, or I'm talking to somebody else, or if you're mad at me that day, or if you think I'm mad at you.
He slips down a slide.
Will you please come to me?
And climbs on monkey bars.
If it happens when you're not at school, it's okay. You can call me on the phone. You don't have to recite your poem to Becca. It's better if you call me, you understand? And I'll write it down for you. And don't let her call you silly names like puppy dog and bunny rabbit. It's belittling. I mean, she's treating you like a baby. So, look, I took your cell phone from your backpack, if that's okay. And I'd like to put my number in and say you have it if you need it. I'm not going to put it in under Mrs. Spinelli because that is too long. I'm going to type in the letter L. See? L is for Lisa. That's my name.
He nods.
So just find L when you want to call me. Okay?
Okay.
That evening, she eats dinner with Grant.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Josh gathers things at the front door and grabs his coat.
Where are you headed?
I have practice.
No, you don't. You had it yesterday.
We have an extra one this week.
Josh, where are you going?
I have a meeting.
Is this Marine stuff? Josh, come in here.
He leans in the doorway.
We just don't get it. You worked so hard to get into that school, and you busted your butt and you pulled up your grades, and we're proud of you, that's all we're saying.
It's not even a good school.
Josh, it's stupid to put yourself in harm's way. People get their fucking limbs blown off.
I'm just sick of school, okay? And plus, I think service is more important than whatever notion of achievement you have.
No, no. Josh, if you want to go fight for oil in the desert, that's fine, but don't kid yourself.
Josh leaves, and Lisa stands and pulls a glass from the cupboard. She fills it with water and takes a drink. Grant sits at the table, resting his head on his hand. She sets the cup down and frowns. Grant stands and puts a hand on her back.
Don't worry, he always lands on his feet.
Does he?
Lisa looks down, and Grant pulls her into an embrace. She runs her hands over his back.
Are we finally alone? Can I lock the fucking front door?
No.
And make sure that no one comes back in this house ever again?
He throws her over his shoulder and carries her off. Moments later, they make out on the couch. Grant unbuckles his pants, and Lisa pulls off her sweater as they kiss. She turns, and he grabs her from behind. She heads to the phone. Lisa moves to the desk wearing a bra and skirt and picks up the phone.
Hello?
Mrs. Spinelli.
Hi, Jimmy.
I have a poem.
She reaches for a notebook. In the background, Grant pulls up his pants.
Okay. I'm ready to write it down. Go ahead.
The gold rusts, the warmth breaks, and the light comes at morning. The police start their way to the dining hall.
She writes.
The sound of World War III is out there. Dust is out, and pray God the wedding is coming. And the reciting poem is here.
A faint smile crosses her lips as she writes. Behind her, her husband stands in the door, then saunters off with his hands in his pockets. At school, Lisa dabs a scrape on Jimmy's knee.
I loved your poem last night.
Jimmy sits in the bathroom window ledge as Lisa tends to his knee. She readies a bandage.
Do you want to hear a poem from me?
Okay.
She smiles as she lays a bandage over his knee, then picks up a piece of paper and unfolds it.
Mesmerize me, butterfly.
She licks her lips.
Forcing wings open shut. Thrust with purpose not known to me. Not expert in your grasses. In poison, mushrooms, camouflage, deliverance. Today the garden teems with wood sprites, flashing blue. Now white, at the edge of seeing.
She looks up with a shy smile.
Is that a poem you wrote?
Yeah.
Jimmy touches his lip with his thumb and averts his eyes. Lisa folds the paper.
Yeah, you heard it. I don't want to spoil your talent.
That evening, she returns home. She crosses through the house and heads to the backyard. A group of teenagers are gathered by the backyard pool. Lisa scans the crowd, wearing a grim expression on her face. She spots her daughter leaning against a wall in front of a teenaged boy. He smokes a joint and offers it to Lainey. Lisa wanders over, and they look at her sheepishly.
Lainey, what are you doing?
What's the big deal? It's been decriminalized.
Can I have it?
You and Dad always act like artsy, progressive hippies.
Okay, you know what?
She holds out the joint.
Smoke it if you want to. Maybe it'll open you up. You...
What's going on?
Could have such an incredible mind.
Incredible mind? What's up with you? You're acting so weird.
I wish...
We got all our work
done. Wish there was a little bit more curiosity, vibrancy, intellectualism in this house.
You know, ever since you started taking those dumbass poetry classes, you've been acting like you're the cultural ambassador to the UN or something. Okay, if you want to go back to college and get your stupid degree, then you can go ahead. Okay, I actually get straight A's without having to work very hard. And you never acknowledge that. You worked your ass off, and look where you are.
Lainey drags the boy off by the hand, and Josh shrugs and follows. Lisa moves to the side of the house with her arms crossed. She reaches beneath a potted plant as Grant appears.
Hey, what the hell is going on?
It's nothing. She's just being provocative. I'm fine. I'm gonna get some air.
Lisa finds a pack of cigarettes and walks away. Grant raises his arms in frustration. Lisa opens the cigarettes as she heads to the front of her house. She sits on the front steps with the smoke in her mouth. She lights it and inhales deeply. Lisa closes her eyes and takes another drag. She glances up to the sky.
Cultural ambassador to the UN.
She smirks, then stares into space as she puffs on the cigarette. She rifles through her purse and pulls out her phone.
Hello.
Jimmy, hi. It's Mrs. Spinelli. It's Lisa.
Why are you calling me?
It's okay. Kindergarten teachers are allowed to call their students.
Becca's gonna read me a book.
Okay. I know. I must be getting close to bedtime. I just wanted to say hi.
Okay.
The next day, Lisa sits on the ferry with her head cocked to the side. She arrives at poetry class.
A home transformed by the lightning. The balanced alcove smothered this insatiable earth of a planet. Earth. They attacked it with their mechanical horns because they love you.
Hello?
Hey, Lisa. How's it going? Come sit down. I was reading this poem that a computer wrote, you know, with some algorithm, and it even passed the Turing test.
In the end, we're old machines. Well, Justin, thank you, and good luck with the sonnet.
Yeah, I'll crack it.
Don't make Watson do it. Cool, man. And I'll see you at the reading on Thursday, then.
Great. Bye.
Bye.
The student leaves, and Alvarez turns to Lisa.
You know, it's very funny, not when you have, like, this amount of books, and I've only read like 1/10 of them.
He sits beside her.
So Justin was telling me that there's half of the class that are gonna stay for the next semester. Would you like to stay?
Yes, I would.
That'd be great, right?
Yeah.
Good. So tell me about you. I don't know anything about you. What do you do?
I teach.
You teach?
I want to thank you for inviting me. I can't tell you how flattered I was when I received your email.
Oh, please, no. You know, your work has been progressing a lot, and it was a no-brainer. I mean, you have to come. So what do you teach?
I teach kindergarten.
That's such a delicate thing, right? You give the kids something, and then they have it forever. That's incredible.
That's true.
So, on Thursday night, at the Bowery, we're doing this reading where, you know, a bunch of poets come in. It's very eclectic, young and old. And there's reviewers, publishers as well, there might be. And everyone that goes on stage reads two poems. So you have to prepare two poems that you like.
Okay.
Right?
I really want to thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. There's dancing afterwards with poets. You know, there's gonna be a party, like drinks and stuff, but I don't know, maybe you will be like a center of attention.
She smiles and looks down, and he leans over and kisses her on the mouth. She pulls away.
I'm very sorry. I just... It's presumptuous of me. I'm sorry.
Alvarez kneels beside the couch.
Forget about it.
He waves his hand, and she smiles.
Can I read you a poem?
Yeah.
He sits beside the couch, and Lisa pulls a notebook from her purse.
I read it sort of quickly.
She holds the book in her hands.
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
Lisa opens the notebook, and he gazes at her.
Mesmerize me, butterfly. Forcing wings, open, shut. Thrust with purpose, not known to me. Not expert in your grasses. In poison, mushrooms, camouflage, deliverance. Today, the garden teems with wood sprites, flashing blue, now white, at the edge of seeing.
Alvarez stares at her with a grin.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's very cool. It's not my favorite that you've written, but it's nice.
Lisa nods and forces a smile.
You know, at the beginning, when you came into the class, I didn't notice you at first. There's so many people, you know, and also you were very quiet for a while. And then you started to present your work. But, I mean, I must say, don't take this wrong, but at the beginning your work was very typical, you know? Like, all the metaphors were very kind of commonplace, which is normal because you're just experimenting with the nature of all of this. But when you read your poem about Anna, I thought, okay, there is a poet here. And from then on, I was just, I don't know.
He kneels in front of her.
I wonder what's going on with you.
He smiles as she leans back on the couch.
Are you going out with Anna?
She reaches for the collar of his shirt.
No.
And tugs on it gently.
Do you like women?
Occasionally.
They lock eyes. Alvarez kneels between her legs. He leans forward and kisses her. She returns his kiss and their passion mounts. Lisa kneels on the floor in front of him, then lays back and removes her shirt to reveal a silver bra. She shoves her purse out of the way. Later, she rides the ferry home in the dark. The next day at school, Lisa sits in a chair gazing at Jimmy as he works on a puzzle with his classmates. She stands and crouches beside him.
Hey, come with me.
She takes his hand and leads him off.
Is he okay?
Yeah, of course.
She beams at Megan. Moments later, they enter a vacant auditorium. They cross down a row of wooden chairs and sit side by side facing the stage. Jimmy looks at her.
So on Thursday, we've been invited to a place where poets read their poems on stage like this, in front of an audience. Some of them will probably be pretty mediocre, but I was wondering if you might want to read a few of yours.
He watches her as he eats a snack.
What do you think?
He munches a cookie.
I'd like to.
Lisa smiles and nods.
I think it'd be a great opportunity.
She takes a deep breath and leans forward.
Actually, why don't you just stand up here?
He stands on his chair.
Yeah, like a stage. Can you show me how you say one of your poems? Maybe Anna?
Anna's beautiful. Beautiful enough for me.
Lisa reaches forward and touches his chest.
You know what's in there? What?
Your heart.
Can you try saying it more from there? From your heart?
Jimmy nods.
Anna's beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits a yellow house. It's almost like a sign from God.
She turns her head to the side, and he sits.
Okay, good. So, on Thursday, we'll do Anna, and how about the bull?
Yeah.
And we'll practice both of them a little bit every day.
Okay.
Lisa leans back and runs her hands through her hair. At night, Lisa crosses a dark sidewalk wearing a sundress. Her purse is slung over her shoulder. She looks up at the buildings as she passes, then stops and faces a nightclub. She enters. Inside, the ceiling is hung with blue fluorescent lights, and bottles are lined up behind the bar.
Mr. Roy.
Yes?
She approaches a man at the bar.
So, I've got a kid with a good head. I'm happy.
Well, it's more than that. I think we have a young Mozart. He's gifted, Mr. Roy. He writes poetry on a level that is far beyond his age.
The man sips a drink and nods.
Have you talked to Sanjay?
Sanjay who?
Your brother, the writer.
The writer? I haven't talked to him in a month.
Oh, I see. He was supposed to call you.
What can I do for you, Lisa?
Mozart was nurtured by kings and queens. They massaged his tired hands. They fed him candy while he played the piano. And Jimmy doesn't have that. I'm not saying he should be spoiled, but he does need support. And Becca, she's nice. But she's not a good influence on him.
Why?
Well, I think she treats him like any stupid child. She talks to him like a puppy dog. And I should tell you, she's often late picking him up and dropping him off.
Is that true?
Yes.
An employee approaches.
Last week she was an hour late because she was at an audition.
The employee leaves.
I know, I see you're very busy and that you're a very successful man and that you don't have a lot of time, and I know that Jimmy's mother isn't around.
I want to help my son, especially if he enjoys doing this. But I don't want him to be like my brother. You met him, right? He's 42 years old, makes 50 grand a year because he wanted to be an intellectual. Now, corrects spelling mistakes for the newspaper. I want my son to do good in school. I want him to be smart, but it's also good to have a normal life. Make money, be practical. But you know, I don't like this Becca forgetting to pick him up. I'm gonna ask her to leave. And I knew it wasn't gonna work, but you know, whenever this happens, it's a real problem for me because who watches him?
I'm happy to. It's not hard for me, especially if it's a few hours after school.
Yeah. That would help me very much.
Okay.
At least at 5 or 6 o'clock, then I could get a girl to come to the house.
Yes, I can do that. And I don't know if Jimmy mentioned it to you, but I've asked him to recite a few of his poems in Manhattan on Thursday night at a poetry reading.
See, no. On Thursday he has baseball practice with his friend. They go together.
So forget it. It's too complicated.
Mm, I see. Do you need me to bring him to baseball?
Oh, no, no. They got it arranged. The father of the kid takes.
Lisa nods with a frown.
It's a shame that he won't be able to go to the reading.
Don't overthink it. They need things simple at this age.
Another day, Jimmy waits at the ferry terminal with Lisa. Soon after, they ride the ferry, and Jimmy points as they pass the Statue of Liberty. Lisa nods and mouths, yeah. Sometime later, they enter a building, and Lisa holds Jimmy's hand as they head up a stairway, then ride an escalator. She checks her phone.
You know what? Let's turn our phones off, and then we can just look at the art, not worry about anything else.
Jimmy studies a sketch hung on the wall featuring a collage of drawings surrounding a giant black mask. They ride down an escalator, and Lisa holds Jimmy on her hip as she gestures to the painting Christina's World by Andrew Wyeth. After, they run through the gallery hand in hand. That night, she pulls into Jimmy's driveway. A woman opens the front door and crosses her arms angrily. Lisa smiles as the woman opens Jimmy's door.
Hi.
I tried to call 3 times. Come on, honey. Let's go.
She unbuckles Jimmy's seatbelt and pulls him out of the car. Lisa watches as they enter the house. The next day, in the school auditorium.
Anna is beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits her yellow house. It's almost like a sign from God.
That was great, Jimmy. Do it just like that tonight, okay? Okay, now, I'm gonna be somebody in the audience and I'm gonna pretend to ask you a question, okay? I'm gonna raise my hand. Mr. Jimmy Roy, who is Anna? And then you have to answer. So you can say Anna is a little tweeting bird, or you can say she's one of the little girls in our kindergarten, or you can say she's the moon or star, or you can say whatever you want.
She stares at him, and he stands on the stage. Later, in the classroom.
Hi, Richard.
Hey,
Mark.
Hey.
Can I talk to you for a sec?
Sure.
Okay, great. So, Jimmy was really not feeling well today. I think maybe it's best if he skips baseball.
Well, it's fine with me. It better he's not running around in the heat. Does Nikhil need me to take him to the doctor?
I just spoke to him. I'm happy to keep Jimmy tonight. I just was concerned because I know you've got two other babes in the house, and I wouldn't want him to get everyone else sick.
All right, as long as Nikhil's fine with it.
He agreed it would probably be better.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, all right, see you tomorrow.
She returns to class and closes the door. Later, Lisa and Jimmy eat dinner at a cafe wearing formal attire. They slurp noodles from bowls. Jimmy is in a black suit, and Lisa sports a black evening gown. After, she holds his hand and they stride down the sidewalk. At the poetry reading.
Who you think you're talking to? Don't you know I'm the reason why you can't shut any wet part of your face? While all the baddest hurricanes strut a woman's name, I put God in my hands. Snapped, watched it rain, skid my teeth across the thin skin and my full lip just to usher the sun in. So yeah.
Alvarez eyes Lisa and Jimmy from across the room.
I'm also the reason you hallelujah. Just as much life I've given you, I could take it away. Calling me bitch only sharpens my blade. Only makes me want to watch you gargle your own tongue. I've been a killer. Baby, I keep caskets warm. God in business. I parade into rooms and a wallpaper don't even stand up no more. My pussy be hurricane season. So the next time you see me walk in a room, out a room, up the block, shit down the block, just say amen. Like I'm the answer to the sky.
A banner reads, Bowery Poetry, as the poet steps off the stage. Lisa stands and leads Jimmy to the front. Alvarez congratulates the poet as she sits beside him. Lisa and Jimmy mount the stage. Lisa lowers the microphone and bends over.
Hi, this is Jimmy Roy, and he'll be reciting two poems for you tonight.
She stands to the side and heaves a sigh. Lisa smiles fondly at the boy.
Anna is beautiful. Beautiful enough for me. The sun hits her yellow house. It's almost like a sign from God.
She scans the crowd, and Alvarez bites his finger.
The bull stood alone in the backyard. So dark, I opened the door and stepped out. Wind in the branches. He watched me, blue eyes. He kept breathing to stay alive. I didn't want him. I was just a boy. Say yes. Say yes anyway.
Lisa looks around nervously.
I'm sorry to ask such a basic question, but are these your poems? And if so, are you using him as a sort of poetic medium?
No, these are his poems. He wrote them.
Alvarez grimaces.
For the young man, how long have you been writing poetry?
I started when I was 5.
Jimmy, I was wondering,
Who is this Anna that you write about?
Anna could be anyone you love. For me, she's my kindergarten teacher's helper, Megan.
Lisa frowns. She turns and hurries off stage. Jimmy follows. Moments later, he finds her in the bathroom.
Jacket's tight on my arms. I want to take it off.
She crouches down with a tear-streaked face.
Why are you upset?
Lisa faces him.
I'm just emotional because I'm so proud of you. You did such a beautiful job.
They clapped me.
She nods and wells with emotion. She presses the heel of her hand to her face.
They loved it.
She is overcome with emotion.
Jimmy, can you wait outside for me for a minute? Just wait right there, right outside the door.
She leans over the sink. And is racked with sobs. She wipes her face and composes herself. Soon after, she opens the bathroom door.
Jimmy?
The hall is vacant. Lisa heads back upstairs to the bar area. The bar is crowded with guests, and she spots Jimmy upstairs by the bar with Alvarez. She takes his hand. Alvarez stares at her, stunned.
He's incredible, isn't he?
I think you should leave the class, Lisa. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that you're presenting work that is not your own.
She nods.
Okay.
All artists, they take from each other, but what you're doing, I don't know, it's something different. You're leeching off a child.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you see it that way.
You break the whole trust that goes into a classroom, the whole ethic. See, what's the point? I was excited about you, Lisa.
Well, this is about him.
No, it is very unclear what you're doing.
He shakes his head.
What's clear is that you're not an artist. You're just an art appreciator, a dilettante. Very different, don't you think?
Later, she and Jimmy ride the ferry. Lisa sits with her head turned to the side, and Jimmy has his legs crossed. After, Jimmy sleeps in the back seat of her car as she drives. Jimmy settles on Lisa's couch and she tucks him in. She plods upstairs. She sits on the side of her bed. And tugs off her high-heeled shoes. She unzips her dress and pulls it off. Then lays in bed next to her sleeping husband. She sits up.
The reading went late.
She puts an arm around him.
It went okay.
He kisses her forehead.
You're proud of the kids, Lise.
She opens her eyes and looks up at him.
What do you mean, our kids?
Josh said the other day that he thought you seemed disappointed in them.
Lisa broods, her hand resting on Grant's chest.
Not.
He nods, and she stares vacantly into space. The next day at school, Lisa strokes a boy's head as he writes on a paper. She looks around, and Megan passes behind her.
Xing X's. Xing X.
Lisa glances out the window.
Jimmy, it's Lisa. Where are you? Are you sick? I hope not. I don't even know if I need to take care of you this afternoon. So can you please call me? Let me know what's going on. Okay, bye.
In the school kitchen, she pulls a bag from the freezer and holds it to her forehead. She gathers food from the fridge and sets it on the counter.
Hi, Jimmy.
Her smile fades, and she darts into the hall.
Mr. Roy, let me just find a place where we can talk.
She hurries to a stairwell.
Nikhil, listen to me. Listen for a second. Nobody's fighting with you. I did it in the name of his talent. No, it wasn't a bar. It was a poetry club. Okay, yes. I do understand. I do. I thought it was very late and that it made much more sense for him to spend the night. Well, I think you're reacting very strongly, but of course you're entitled to your opinion.
Lisa nods as she presses the phone to her ear.
Yes, I should have asked for your permission, and I'm sorry.
Afterwards, she returns to her classroom and approaches Megan.
Megan.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, that was Jimmy's dad. He's leaving us. He's going to go to another kindergarten.
Megan nods.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay, everybody. Let's have some snacks.
She holds out a tray of fruits and vegetables, and the children take food. Lisa's face is pinched with emotion. Later, Grant sits on the couch at home.
Hey.
Who's here?
We're all here.
Oh, good. I was thinking I would cook a big dinner tonight for everyone. I went to the market. I got some great stuff.
She kisses his cheek.
Mm. Oh, hi. You're sweaty. You okay?
Yeah.
She heads upstairs.
Josh?
He's on his phone.
Lainey? Hey, I got some great food. I was hoping we could have dinner together tonight.
I sort of can't. I'm supposed to go to Kelly's to study for bio.
Well, can you go after?
Lainey purses her lips.
Hey, I would really appreciate it if we could sit down and have a meal together just once like a normal family. It's been a long time.
Okay, I'll tell Josh. But can I leave at 7:30?
Yeah.
She starts out.
Mom?
Lisa returns.
Sorry I got so upset with you the other night. Probably could have worded that a little bit better. Came off kind of bitchy.
Lisa nods and presses her lips together. after Lisa and Josh wash dishes.
How was your meeting?
It was fine. There are actually so many benefits to joining up. They'll even pay for a year of my college.
Grant clears the table.
Good. You don't mind?
She braces herself on the counter and shakes her head. The next morning, Lisa stands in the bathroom mirror wearing a bra and panties. She leans on the counter and gazes forlornly at her reflection. After, she perches on the side of her bed as Grant sleeps behind her. She crawls towards him and kisses him. He turns slightly. She presses herself on top of him and continues kissing him. He rubs her arm, then lets his arm drop back down. She pulls away.
Have a good day.
Lisa gazes down at him, then gets up and walks out of the room. Grant rolls onto his stomach. She carries his suitcase out of the house. And backs her car out of the driveway. Lisa wears a dark floral dress and sunglasses as she cruises down the street. She arrives at Jimmy's house and parks across the street. She watches the house. Mr. Roy exits with Jimmy and heads to his dark SUV carrying his son's backpack. Jimmy gets in the back seat. They drive away, and Lisa follows them. Soon after, Mr. Roy helps Jimmy out of the vehicle by a school. Lisa turns off the ignition and slides down in her seat. Lisa saunters by the schoolyard as the children play outside. She leans on the fence.
Hey, Jimmy.
He runs after a ball, then approaches her at the fence wearing a white tank top and dark shorts. Lisa crouches down.
Today, I thought maybe we could go swimming. You know how to swim?
Yes.
Turn that. Push it to the left.
He flips the latch and pulls the gate open. He faces Lisa.
I missed you.
She picks him up and carries him away from the school. Lisa glances back as the boy rests his head on her shoulder. Soon after, she drives through the city and onto a highway. A freeway sign indicates a route to Gothel's Bridge and exits to Outer Bridge Crossing and Richmond Avenue. They cross over the bridge and drive away from the city. Trees line the side of the road, and clouds hang in a blue sky. Jimmy sits in the back seat.
Where we're driving up north is so beautiful. Big mountains. A lake you can swim in. Have you ever done that before?
No, I've only been in a pool. But I like to swim.
The road cuts through the forest.
How long are we going swimming for?
Lisa cruises past a tree-lined lake and continues on. A tree-covered mountain is in the distance behind the car. Sometime later, Lisa lays on a beach with a straw hat over her face. She wears a checkered black bathing suit. She lifts the hat and sits up with a smile as people frolic in the water. Jimmy sits beside her, watching the others. Lisa glances at him and follows his gaze to the swimmers. She smiles at the boy.
You want to swim like the other kids? Come on, I'll go with you.
She helps him remove his shirt.
All right.
Lisa takes his hand and they wade into the crystal blue lake. Sunlight glints on the surface of the water. Lisa ducks her head under the water, then pops up. Jimmy smiles. He dunks down and swims towards her. Jimmy moves his arms through the lake as the water rises up to his neck. He swims towards Lisa beneath the surface, and she circles around and moves to him. She helps the boy wipe water from his eyes, then pulls a feather from his face. She grins at him. Lisa dives in, and they swim together.
I have a poem.
Okay. Come, let's move in a little.
She takes him to the shore.
Anna, get up. Remember, loneliness is still time spent with the world.
She writes.
Here's the room with everyone in it. Your dead friends passing through you, like wind through a wind chime. Don't be afraid, Anna. The end of the road is so far ahead. It is already behind us.
She looks up, then continues writing as he splashes in the shallows.
Jimmy.
She hugs him and kisses his neck. After, they enter a dingy motel room. An air conditioning unit is mounted beneath a window, and a dense forest is visible outside. Jimmy gazes out the window. Lisa sets her suitcase on a bed, then stands beside him.
It's beautiful, isn't it? So different from home.
It's beautiful and sad looking, too.
Yeah. Sadness never ends. Van Gogh said that before he died.
Rain streams down the window panes as Jimmy looks outside.
Okay. Go get cleaned up, right? Covered in sand and dirt.
She turns to her suitcase and opens it.
Go ahead.
Jimmy goes to the bathroom. He turns on the shower. Lisa glances back at the bathroom.
Hey, Jimmy? Are you okay with the hot water?
She opens the door and spies him behind the shower curtain. She closes the door and moves back to the bed. She sifts through the things in her suitcase. Lisa sits on the bed with her toiletry bag on her lap. Jimmy exits the bathroom wrapped in a towel. He sits on the other bed, clutching his clothes to his chest.
I'm gonna go get washed up too.
She carries her bag to the bathroom. Jimmy pulls his shirt over his head. Lisa is in the shower. She rinses her hair and rubs her face under the running water. Jimmy stands outside the bathroom door.
Jimmy?
Lisa pulls back the shower curtain, then turns off the water.
Jimmy?
She grabs a towel and wraps it around her body, then hurries to the door.
Hey, Jimmy, did you lock the door?
Yes.
On purpose?
Yes.
Hey, Jimmy, sweetie, open the door. You know how much I care about you. I love you so much. This whole trip was planned for you. Open the door, baby.
He stands on the other side of the door.
Jimmy.
She crouches down.
Listen, tomorrow we're going to go back to the lake and we're going to get ice cream. And then we're going to drive across the border and you're going to recite your poems and I'm going to write them down and we're going to publish a book that has your name on it. Just think about that.
He turns from the door and she twists the knob.
Hello, I'm Kenneth. Can you help me?
Lisa presses a hand to the door and wells with emotion.
Hey, Jimmy, if you want to call the police, you have to dial 911.
He dials.
You know, Jimmy,
this world is going to erase you. There's not a place in this world for you. For people like you. A couple of years, you are gonna be just a shadow, just like me.
She wipes her eye.
No, she's in the shower.
He looks out the window.
I'm in a place with lots of big trees.
Lisa weeps.
Yes, I'm near Canada.
Jimmy, tell them you're at Placid Oaks Motel, room 114. And tell them I don't have a weapon.
I'm in Placid Oaks Motel, room 114. And she doesn't have a weapon.
She rests her head on the door.
What did they say?
Said to hang tight and they'll be here soon.
She covers her mouth with her hand.
Hey, Jimmy. Can you open the door, please? I'd like to get my clothes on before the policemen come.
He unlocks the door. She exits, wrapped in a towel, and Jimmy sits on his bed. Lisa moves to her suitcase and retrieves her clothes. She hastily gets dressed with her back turned to the boy. Lisa slips on a pair of panties and pulls a sundress over her head. Jimmy watches as Lisa towel dries her damp hair. She brushes her wet hair in the mirror. Jimmy hops off the bed. He stands beside her and runs a hand down her leg. Lisa lowers her arms and Jimmy takes her hand. He looks up at her and she hangs her head. Lisa looks up sadly, the boy clinging to her hand. Later, a policewoman carries Jimmy away from the motel.
We'll get you an ice cream in just 1 second.
She sets him in a cruiser. Jimmy sits alone in the car. He looks out the window, then down at the floor.
I have a plan.
Credits. A film by Sarah Colangelo. Starring Maggie Gyllenhaal, Parker Savak, Anna Baryshnikov, and Rosa Salazar. With Michael Chernus, Gail Garcia Bernal. Also starring Ajay Naidu, Daisy Tahan, Sam Jules, Samrat Chakrabarty, Haley Murphy, Otto Blankson Wood, Carson Grant, and Libya Pugh. Written and directed by Sarah Colangelo, based on a film by Nadav Lapid. Co-produced by Pi Films and Hot Acor. Produced by Talia Kleinhandler, Osnat Handelsman-Karen, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Celine Rattray, and Trudy Styler. Director of Photography, Pepe Avila Del Pino. Production designer, Mary Lena Colston. Costume designer, Vanessa Porter. Edited by Mark Vives and Lee Percy. Music by Asher Goldschmidt. Sound design and mix, Gil Turen. Casting by Stephanie Holbrook and Henry Russell Bergstein. Executive producers, Tamira Yardeni, Carol Scotta, Nadev Lapid, Pia Jetty, Jenny Halper, Nick Marshall, Dylan D. Jordan, Christopher S. Burke, Henry Wu, Brian Lamachia, Zachary Ty Bryan, Clayton S. Friedman, Anish Growl, Jojo Chuchabar, Dale Rosenblum, Stephen Kemmler, Peter Soboloff, Stephen Mayo, Brendan Walsh, Bradley J. Ross, Gabriel Napora, Jeff Rice, Lee Broda, Rav Endran, Kerry Nakamoto, Alejandra Freire, Nick Masseri, Samir M. Patel, Sajal M. Patel, Barack M. Osgar, M.D., and Robert L. Heimers III. Co-producers, Jed Dickerson, Miriam Al-Rashid, and Joanna Plavsky. Casting consultant, Bonnie Timmerman. Unit production manager, David Duque Estrada. First assistant director, Jacob Martin. Second assistant director, Miranda Kahn. Second assistant director, Buck Steger. Cast in order of appearance, Maggie Gyllenhaal as Lisa. Gail Garcia Bernal as Simon Alvarez. Otto Blankson Wood as Justin. Libya Pugh as Marianne. Michael Chernus as Grant. Carter Kojima as Derek Bishop. Jillian Palalio as Jillian. Parker Savak as Jimmy Roy. Anna Baryshnikov as Megan. Noah Rhodes as Stephen. Rosa Salazar as Becca. Daisy Tahan as Lainey. Hallie Murphy as Brittany. Sam Jules as Josh. Carson Grant as Michael. Samrat Chakrabarty as Sanjay Roy. Ajay Naidu as Nikhil Roy. Stefania Makarova as Magda, Clark Carmichael as Mr. Bishop, Shyaporn Thirakolstead as Robert, Cassandra Perez as Lana, Ashley August as Poet 1, Nikhil Melanchuk as Poet 2, Alan McCullough as Gus, Kia Travett as Gloria, Amira Martinez as Officer Marshall, Douglas Terrell as Officer Lugo. Music: The Carnival of the Animals, No. 13, The Swan, and No. 6 Kangaroos, by Camille Saint-Saëns. Nocturne Opus No. 9, No. 1, by Frédéric Chopin. Piano Sonata No. 14 in C Minor, by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Any Time of Day, by Kalan Gilbert, Elroy Powell, Michael Stone, and Dimana Dimitrova. Grind Low, by Daniel Holter and Old Man Malcolm. We On It, remix by Christopher Mosher, Daniel Holter, David Baldwin, and Matthew Smith. Club Insomnia, Hold Your Eyes, by Sample Music. Filmed with the support of the New York State Governor's Office of Motion Pictures and Television Development. Copyright 2018 Paint Films, LLC. The Kindergarten Teacher. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.